There are so many people this morning that would love to be able to go to church, but they're not able. And maybe down through the time that you've had times in your life where you wasn't able to go and how much you missed it. And, you know, just to be able to be in God's house and to be able to come out and worship the Lord is a privilege that God has given us. And we ought to take advantage of every one of those that He gives us. And I know I'm getting a little older and a little slower as I go along. And I know there's going to be a time that maybe I won't be able to go as much as I want to. But I thank God this morning that I'm able to be in the Lord's house. And I'm able to be here and to be able to worship with you all and to be blessed.
Oh, to all my friends, let's go.
And in the Lord's presence. Turn your Bibles, if you will, with me to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And we're going to start reading with verse 1 and we're going to read through verse 6. Acts 28, verses 1 through 6. As you will, when you find that, if you will stand to your feet for the reverence of God's Word. I like to do that because I read in the book of Ezra, when they were reading from the Bible, they were reading from the law, and the people stood, and just from reading of the Word of God, the people got excited, and the people wept, and the people repented, there's all kinds of emotion went along with just reading the Word of God. We don't even sometimes realize how privileged we are to just have the Bible. And to have the written Word of God that we can open it up and we can read it and we can have as many of these in our houses that we can afford, you know, and we can have all we want from the Word. And there's places where the Bible is not even permitted. And we're so fortunate this morning to read God's Word. He said, and they were escaped. Then they knew that this isle was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened it on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to bring it. And God, we know that we can do nothing without you this morning. And God, we're asking for your anointing as we bring this out the way that you've given it to us. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When you read the scripture, some people might start thinking, well, what's he going to preach on this morning? And is he going to preach on snake handling? No, that's not what I'm going to preach on. And I know up in West Virginia, maybe Kentucky, and there are some places that do that, and I don't have that much faith. So I'm not going to preach on that. But the verse that I want to look at this morning, He said, in verse 6, he said, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly, but after they had looked a great while, they saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said he was a god. We're living in a changing time. And the people today are changing. I mean, just things are changing so fast, aren't they? And people are changing their mind about a lot of things. There's people changing their mind about what Christianity is all about. They're changing their mind whether we're living. Our customs are changing, and our culture is changing. And you know, as I come here and come back again, even this church membership has changed since I was here in December. There's things happening all the time, and changes are taking place. But this morning, as we look at this and we look at these people, when they first saw Paul. And he reached down and he picked up the stick, or he thought he was getting a stick, but he picked up a snake. And when that snake bit him, they thought, wow, you know, this must be some kind of vengeance on this man. He must be an evil. He must be of the devil. And then when they kept looking and they saw that he didn't die, they changed their mind and said, whoa, then maybe he's a God. Maybe he's a God. And listen, folks, we should not be so easily swayed about things when it pertains to the Word of God. We need to get rooted and we need to get grounded in what thus saith the Word of God, because we are being bombarded daily with things that are contrary to the Word of God. And what I'd like to say this morning, there's some things that God hasn't changed His mind about. And there's some things this morning that we need to settle and not change our mind about. And if we're going to pass what we have to the next generation, we're going to have to make up our mind that we're going to have to say, okay, I'm going to draw the line in the sand right here. And this is as far as I'm going with this direction that many are trying to take our churches today. One of the things that we need to look at and we need to surely make our mind up is about the Word of God. You know, I know we're being bombarded with version after version after version after version of the Word of God. And listen, folks, I was in a church 2 weeks ago, a Free Will Baptist church, and the Sunday school teacher was reading from his Bible, and I couldn't even follow him. It's like many people in one room speaking a whole bunch of languages. I don't understand what they're talking about. I was in a room one time. An old lady was one of my church members, and she was on her deathbed, and I was there with her two daughters. And they started talking nurse talk. You know, they were using the lingo of nurses, and I said, what are you all talking about? I said, bring it to my language, okay? Bring it down to where I can understand it. But the Word of God, folks, is something. This Word is inspired. This Word is inspired. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's Word is inspired. It's inerrant. You've heard the guys on TV, on radio. They'll say, well, it should have been translated this way, or it should have been translated that way, or in the original it says this. It's translated just like it's supposed to be. Let's just take it for what it says. And listen, just because it don't match what I believe, that don't mean it's wrong. It means I'm wrong. So it's infallible. It's a book of wonder. You know, read it. Just like we were taught in Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher was talking about the opening up the Red Sea. I mean, I believe that happened. I know it happened. I believe that Daniel was thrown into the den of lions and they didn't eat him. I believe that the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace and they come out without even the smell of smoke. So, it's a one book of wonder. And folks, it's a book of worship. If you want to worship God, go into Psalms. And follow the writings of David and others that wrote the Psalms. And it's a book of warfare. God's Word will cover every detail of your life. Folks, listen, we've got the Word of God, and we need to stick with it. It's a map for direction. It's a manual for us to follow. It's a mirror for our discipline. When you read God's Word, you can see yourself. And you might not like what you see, but you can see yourself. Hey, I've looked in the mirror. And I love Moses. When I do, I don't like what I see, but this is me. It's what I am. And when I look in the Bible, sometimes I don't like what I see. But I'm not going to change the Bible. I'm going to try to move to where it is so I can be more like what Jesus is. It's a mirror. And folks, listen, we need to read God's Word to be wise. You want to be wise? We need to believe God's Word to be saved. There's no other way. We need to practice God's Word to be holy. You know, people get excited or worried when you start saying holiness. Folks, holiness is not a religion. Holiness is in the Word of God. It's not a denomination. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. Practice it to be holy. Obey it. And folks, listen, here's a good one. If we will obey God's Word, we will be blessed. You say, well, Brother Maynard, all these things are happening in my life. Listen, without God, where would we be anyway? Preachers have things happen in their life. I mean, my wife and I have been through quite a few things down through the years. And sit down and talk to me for a while, I can tell you some things. And you know, it's things that you think would never happen to somebody that's serving God, but they have. But let me tell you one thing about it all. God has brought us through every one of them. Every one of them, God's brought us through. See, the one thing, see, these people down here at Melita, they were willing to sway. You know, they like our politicians. They like to lick their finger, stick it up in the air, see which way the wind's blowing, and that's what they're going to be. Folks, we got to stand for God's Word and be what God's Word says for us to be. And listen, there's another thing that we need to stand on. Now, we need to stand that we have the Bible. We've got the Word. We have the written Word. And it's the Word that God has preserved for us. You know, there's people that say, and you know, we're living in a time when Mormonism and Islam and all these other things, and to be politically correct, they're wanting us to say, well, there are brothers. Listen this morning, there is only one way to God, and that's through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Mormons don't serve the same. I had two of those guys knock on my door the other day, and they won't talk to me. I said, you all don't serve the same Jesus I do. They looked at me real funny. What do you mean? Well, my Jesus wasn't a brother of Satan. My Jesus was born of a virgin, and He's the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. And I taught that in Sunday school a few weeks ago, and a lady looked at me and said, well, they're good people. There's a lot of so-called good people who are going to spend eternity in hell. And my pastor made a statement the other day, said that there are no good people, for there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none good. No, not one. So without Jesus Christ in our life, folks, and the way to God is through Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to turn over into Matthew chapter 5 if you've got your Bible. And we're going to go through a few things. Let me tell you something. The Bible said Nicodemus came to Jesus. And he said, what must I do? And he said, ye must be born again. You know, being born again has become a fad. The politicians want to say they're born again, though they want our votes. The Hollywood crowd wants to say they're born again. It's become a fad. But let me tell you something. There's a way to be born again. Now, we'll just look at this just for a few minutes. We're looking at the first one in verse 3. The way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. I made that statement. And what? So, here he said, blessed, I'm going to just say it like the country folks do it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now let me take you a little bit there on what that means. And I'd like to ask you a question. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. But I'd like to ask you this morning, have you been born again? The Bible says here, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, for you to be born again, you have to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner. Anybody gets saved has to first admit the fact that they are a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He says there is none righteous, no, not one. We have to acknowledge that we are sinners. We have to acknowledge that we come short of the glory of God. We have to acknowledge that we've reached a point in our life where we need Him. We need something, and His name is Jesus. Let me tell you, there's people that come to the altar, and they're grieving. You know what they're grieving about? They're grieving because they lost a loved one. They're grieving because they lost a job. They're grieving because their children are out of whack. And they come down, and say they got saved. Listen, the only way you will get saved if you come down confessing that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. Have you ever noticed those people that come for those things? As soon as that works out, they're gone. Soon as they get their finances in shape, soon as their marriage is back in place, soon as these things happen, they're gone. You know why? Because they didn't come and look, come for this for thing they should have come looking for. They didn't come for salvation. They come looking for something in this life. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Have you ever? Now I want you to think about this, because I'm asking, have you been born again? Have you ever come to the point in your life where you confess that you are a sinner? Think about it. Then we move on to the next one. He said, blessed are they that mourn. Now let me tell you something. If you come to the point that you know you are a sinner, then you're going to be sorry and you're going to mourn for your sin. People say, have you ever reached a point, and that will bring forth confession, and that will bring forth sorrow in your heart, because the Bible says, the Bible says that the Lord is nigh them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as a contrite spirit. Have you seen people come down and make a profession of faith and leave laughing? Have you seen them come to the altar and it's almost a joke? And some people like to read to them, there's nothing wrong with the Romans road of salvation. I'm not saying anything, there's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. Reading that and saying a prayer after a man who's led you in a prayer, if it didn't come from a broken and a contrite spirit, it's not worth a dime. Many people this morning have been deceived that they're saved and they've never mourned over their sin. They've never confessed their sins. They've never repented and asked God to forgive them of their sin. First, you've got to realize you're lost. You got to realize you're a sinner. And listen, many people, and let us take this to the church. Many people never repent till they get caught. We've seen them on TV, haven't we? We've seen them on TV. We hear these politicians all the time. That reverend and that Catholic guy that got up and spoke the other day, and he's sorry now. He said, no, he ain't. He just got caught. See, when the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit's with you all the time. The Holy Spirit knows what you're doing all the time. And if you've got the Holy Spirit, it's not going to wait for somebody to catch you. It's going to be there when you do the sin. And it will convict your heart. And if you are really sorry of that sin, it will cause your heart to mourn. It will cause you to have a broken heart. It will cause you to have a contrite spirit. And that's the repentance that God will forgive. You know what many people say? Lord, I made a mistake. David didn't say, I made a mistake. In Psalms 51, David said, Lord, I have sinned against you. He confessed his sin. He was a broken heart. He asked God to forgive him. And he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Listen, folks, I it scares me. Because I think there's a lot of people today that's expecting to go to heaven and they've never been born again. They've never had a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior. Maybe, and now I'm saying, young people get saved. Let me tell you, you can. But you don't do it because somebody else is doing it. You're doing it because God is dealing with your heart. And you realize you need a Savior. We must agonize over our sin. Once we realize, folks, listen, we must agonize our sin. He said, the Lord is nigh them. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Brother Maynard, we had a good service. I didn't want a message like this. But let me tell you something. I've got nieces and nephews that's going to hell because they thought they got saved years ago. They went down. They got baptized. They joined the church. They went through the motions. Let me tell you the sad part about it. And I don't want to do this to mess up the service, but I have requested prayer for my nephew that got killed, was murdered 2 weeks ago. I request a prayer for him. The sad part about it, his son that I've seen on the altar, his son that I've seen run the pews, his son that I've seen make a profession that he was a preacher, his son that did all of those things may be the one that killed him. That's why I say this morning, we need to know. It puts a more importance on me that we need to know. We need to know. We need to know that we've passed from death unto life. We need to know for sure that we've been born again. We need to know that we've went to the altar with a broken heart, with a contrite spirit. We need to know for sure that Jesus Christ has come into our life. And folks, listen. This young man went down the path of drugs and everything else that could be out there. I think maybe Daddy said no. And I think it cost Daddy his life. Scary. I told my two grandchildren, I was up there last week for the funeral, and this may go over 12 o'clock, y'all bear with me a minute. I told my two grandkids, I said, you two, they're 10 and 12. I said, you guys, you get out and mess up. You get out and do the things you know you're not supposed to do. Don't expect Grandpa to pull you out of it. You do the crime, you're going to pay the time. And my nephew, who's dead, would have made his son pay for the things he'd done in the past. He may still be alive. We need to agonize. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm going to move on. Blessed are the meek. The next step after you've confessed your sin, after you've come to Him with a broken and contrite spirit, it will cause you to be meek. It's going to make a change in your life. Let me ask you this. Do you remember when you came and asked God to forgive you and it changed your life? Well, I did it. Nothing was different. My pastor gave his testimony, and the thing he said, he was 9 years old, I think, when he got saved. He said, I couldn't sleep at night. I was afraid I was going to die and go to hell. He said, but after I went to the altar that night and asked Jesus to save me, I went back home, and I had a peace inside. It'll make a change. It'll cause you to be meek. And he said here, we change our way. See, it's not my way anymore. It's God's way. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If a man gets saved, if a woman, a child gets saved, it's going to make a difference in their life. There'll be a change take place. Has that happened to you? Well, I'm a church member. I was baptized. Listen, it wouldn't matter, I'll say it like this, if every tadpole or fish down under the New River knew you. You've been baptized so many times. If you've not been born again, you're still lost. And you can be a member of this church and everyone around and still be lost. It's a change of mind followed by a change of behavior. You see rebellion. We see all these things happen. And listen, folks. We need to know. We need to know. Think about it while I'm preaching. Think about it. Have I been born again? There's only one way, and you got to come God's way. There's no other way except God's way. After we do this, after we mourn, after we're poor in spirit, after we become meek, there's some natural things that takes place in our life. The Bible says next, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, after you've done this, let me tell you what you'll want to do. You'll want to be in church. You want to be in church more than just one time a week. You want to be in Sunday school. You want to be here on Wednesday night. You won't be able to get enough of God's Word. Well, I don't have time. Listen, what's the top priority in our life? I've told people this. Church is just a habit for me. It's a good habit. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anything else going on in the church, I won't get a job because it'll interfere with my things I can do at the church. I need just a little bit more money, but I don't want to give up what I'm doing at the church. And I've gone and applied for jobs. And they said, well, you got to work weekends. Forget it. Man, we'll just have to eat more beans or something. But forget it. You know, I retired from Ford Motor Company, and I retired so I could serve the Lord full time. I'm not pastoring a church right now, but I retired so I could serve the Lord full time. We become meek, we mourn, then we have a hunger for God's Word. You know, somebody said, well, I got saved, and I didn't. You know, I've seen people say this, I got saved, and they didn't come back to church for a month. I don't believe that. You say, what you want? I don't believe it. Because if something happens, you become hunger and thirsty after the Word of God. You want to learn about Him. You want more about Him. Psalms 119:103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I love to hear good preaching. I'm in a church where the pastor is a fantastic. I've learned so much in the last year and a half that I've been there. I didn't know I could learn that much more, but I have. But it's good to be under God's Word. Listen, there's something right here inside of every one of us that only God's Holy Spirit can feel. I made this statement to somebody. I may have made it here last time I was here. But many times we may go to the refrigerator and we're looking for something and we just can't, and it's full and we can find nothing in there that is really appealing that we want to eat. You know what the soul might want? It might be wanting this instead of something physical. It might be hungry for God's Word. It might be wanting something like that more than it wants food. And no food. Nothing else we do. Nothing all satisfying of the flesh will not take care of that except God's Word. And He said, blessed are the merciful. Listen, when you get saved, it'll cause you to be merciful. That's opposite of being selfish. Do we know any people that profess or any Christians that are so selfish, all they think about themselves? Something wrong there. Something wrong there. It includes forgiveness. Refusing to be bitter. Oh, I know people in church that sit in church are bitter. I go shake their hand on Sunday morning and I can see their lips so tight that they wouldn't smile. And if you ripped it apart, they still wouldn't smile. They're bitter. And then they still want to say, I'm right with God. We call those the sins of good standing. You know, when you can have, you know, if you commit adultery and all these things in the church, they'll throw you out. But you can gossip. You can have envy. You can have strife. You can hate somebody, talk about and everything. And you're in good standing with the church. But you're not in good standing with God. It's hard to deal with those things because most of us would probably get thrown out. But see, this is opposite. Refusing to be bitter. It shows mercy. If we show mercy, the Bible says we will obtain mercy. I like that. I'm going to take a couple more points and I'm going to be closing. These are the things. And I want to ask you this morning before I go to the next point. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Have you gone through the steps towards salvation? Well, I went through Romans Road, but have you gone through the steps of to obtain salvation? It's only through Christ. God's will this morning is for all sinners to be saved. It's not His will that any should perish. Who will have all men to be saved? 1 Timothy 2:4. To be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. It's God's will for you this morning to be saved. Every one of us. It's God's will for His people to be separated. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's God's will for us to be separated from the world. It's His will. And let me tell you one awful thing. I'm going to read these scriptures and let them speak for themselves. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And listen right here. And this is the word of God. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. God's not changed his mind about that either. Judgment is still coming. We will still have to stand before God. And this morning, if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, how you get it there? By being born again. And if it's not there, and he'll cast you into that lake that burneth forever and ever. The wisdom of God does not change. And this is my last point here. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that this morning? He knows how to take care of us. And reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. God knows the difference. God knows this. He knows how to preserve the godly, and he knows how to reserve the ungodly to the day of judgment. Let me ask you this morning. Have you been born again? Do you know? Could you stand up and testify this morning and say, I know. I know when it happened. I know when God changed my life. I've got a daughter-in-law that was raised in church. She went through all the processes. She was baptized. She joined the church. She did all those things. She married my son. He was preaching, and he made a statement like this. Do you know when it changed your life? And she looked back, and she didn't know. And she came down to the altar and got saved. Listen, wouldn't it be awful to go through the whole process and the Lord say to you, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Wouldn't it be awful to sing in the choir, to be a Sunday school teacher, to be as faithful to God's house and do all those things and still go to hell? It'd be awful, wouldn't it? But let me ask you this morning. Have you been born again? I'd like for him to come with a song of invitation at this time, huh? Can you say, there's a song in the hymn book, and I don't know if it's this one or the blue book we have at our church, but I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Can you say that? And the Bible says that we can know that we passed from death unto life. It's a know-so salvation. You don't have to guess at it. And folks, somebody said, I've heard people say, I'm praying for that person, and they're really saved, and they don't know it yet. Let me ask you this. How could something so wonderful or someone so wonderful as the Holy Spirit of God come in into your life and you not know it? You'll know it. You'll know it. Will you all stand, please?